can. We can turn our planetary health around, but first let's turn our personal health around. If any of you have health issues or you want to lose some weight, or you are just feeling like you've been a little sluggish lately, too much caffeine, too much alcohol, too much meat, well, there's a wonderful place that you might want to consider going to, or at least knowing about. It's called the Optimum Health Institute. They're not paying me to do this. Sounds like an ad, but I wasn't even planning to do a program today. I was going to ask the PRN studio just to do a rerun, but I got so inspired by what I've heard, and seen, and I've only been here 3 days out of seven so far, that I wanted to share this place with you, this treasure, this resource. It is called the Optimum Health Institute. They call themselves the Healing Ministry. It's been mostly family-run for the 35 years that they've had this pretty small piece of property in San Diego. It's actually in Lemon Grove. It used to be a senior home facility, so it's not fancy. This is not a spa. Someone described it as boot camp, and I'd say not quite that rigorous, not that I've been through boot camp, but it's definitely a place you come to seriously look at changing your health habits, and not only, you know, what you put into your stomach, but also just how you think about your life, and that impacts, of course, our entire system. And so this place, Optimum Health Institute, has capacity to have about 100 people a week. They have a smaller campus in Austin, Texas, and I'm already talking to them about plans to expand because I really do think miracles are happening here every day. One of the miracles that I stumbled upon the first day here was this beautiful woman who gave us a tour. Her name was Peg, and just lovely, elegant, graceful, healthy, just radiating, emanating good health, truly. And when I learned her story, I was stunned, and I think I still am, and I'm just pleased and honored to have her with us on the Green Front now. I want to welcome Peg Harvey Sweeney to the program. Thanks for joining me, Peg, on very short notice.
My pleasure. I'm happy to do it.
So we just heard Kirsten's story, and if you would do the same for us, just take us back to a day, I don't know how long ago, where you learned that, I don't know what you looked like before this this experience, but you certainly look every bit healthy today.
Well, my journey actually began about 2 years ago when I was treated for uterine cancer with surgery followed by radiation. And I was told that if there would be a recurrence of uterine cancer, its path would most likely be to recur in the liver or in the lungs. And as a consequence of that, my oncologist did periodic x-rays of the lungs, and sure enough, about 16 months after the surgery, so in May of last year, they detected two tumors, one in each lung, about the size of golf balls, and innumerable tiny tumors, about the size of a pencil eraser. And so when there is a recurrence like that, they do classify it as stage four. The oncologists were very direct and blunt with me. The first one that we met with was a female. We called her Dr. Pit Viper. She sort of had the bedside manner of a poisonous snake. But she said, pretty quickly, she said, there's absolutely a 0% chance of survival for people who have what you have. We can't treat it with radiation. It would destroy your lung function. We wouldn't want to give you chemotherapy because you don't appear to be sick enough, and you only have about 9 to 18 months to live. Chemotherapy would make you sick for 6 months and extend your life by 4, which sounded to me like a proposition for people who are bad at math. But at any rate, she said, we'll hold off on that until you get a little bit sicker. Can't operate because the tumors are innumerable, and one is very close to your heart. And so that's pretty much, all what we can, wasn't anything, she couldn't offer me anything. So I said to her, just not knowing much about alternative medicine, I said, is there anything I can do personally to enhance my chance of survival or increase my life expectancy? And she had to think for quite a long time, and then she said, well, I think a little bit of exercise might help you.
Oh, my.
That was all she could come up with. We met with a second doctor. We dubbed him Dr. Benign. He wasn't as toxic as the first oncologist. We didn't think he was going to poison me. But on the other hand, he couldn't help me either. But he was a little bit more of a realistic optimist and he said, well, her diagnosis is technically correct, and she's quoting all the right statistics. He said, however, I do allow that doctors don't know everything, and once in a while, like one out of every 60,000, we see a spontaneous remission. So he was throwing me a bone or two.
Hmm.
And I asked him the same question. Is there anything I can do that would extend my life or increase my chances of survival? And his reply was a little more enlightened. He said, just live joyfully in the remaining time that you have.
Hmm.
So what's interesting is when I came to the Optimum Health Institute, I'd been given those two instructions for things that I could do to enhance healing, just to exercise, live joyfully. So I started keeping a list, and at first I titled it 50 Things to Do to Enhance Healing, and then after two or three days I crossed that out and I put 100 Things to Do to Enhance Healing, and then I kept meeting guests and other people who had done some really wild and wacky things that enhanced their healing process, and I wrote those down. And I currently have, I'm just turning the pages here, currently have 155 things that I've learned. These are actual, you know, anecdotes. Some of them are documented. Some of them are anecdotal things that people have done to enhance their healing. And my list is growing.
And I want you to write a book. You haven't even gotten to the best part of the story. Go ahead.
So at any rate, if any of your listeners have ever been told by an oncologist or another physician that there's nothing that they can do, they need to erase that thought immediately and replace it with the fact, it's a fact, that there are many things we can do to enhance our body's healing. It's an education process, and I was uneducated, and I'm becoming more educated now.
Well, this is not an education that we Americans get.
No, it's not. Interestingly enough, when I came out, it's a well-known fact that sugar feeds cancer. A cancer cell has 60 receptors, 60 receptors for sugar. A healthy cell has 6 receptors for sugar. This is well known. This is why how the concept of a PET scan, when you get a PET scan to detect cancer, the oncologist or radiologist injects radioactive glucose into your system, and all the little areas where there are cancer cells light up because they're slurping up the sugar. So I came out of a well-respected hospital. I had my hysterectomy for the treatment of uterine cancer 2 years ago, and on my plate for my first meal were the following three things: sherbet, Jell-O, and apple juice, the second ingredient of which was high fructose corn syrup.
Death. Death on a tray.
Death on a tray. So I vanquished all that, and I told my husband to go out and get me a green smoothie. So but had I not been educated, I would have eaten all that.
And as we are speaking, many people recovering from the same kind of thing
in
hospitals are eating it right now.
Absolutely.
Wow. So you live in this area, and you say you were not aware of the Optimum Health Institute.
I wasn't. So I was, to finish my story, so 15, 16 months after the initial diagnosis, when I had the recurrence, we met with the doctors, the two different, Dr. Pitt Viper and Dr. Benign, on a Monday and a Thursday. The following Sunday, my husband and I went to a farmer's market here in San Diego. And as luck or spirit or serendipity would have it, we encountered a vendor who was selling kombucha and wheatgrass, powdered wheatgrass. And what arrested our attention was not either of those products, because we weren't familiar with either one, but on the vendor's table there was a book that said Curing Cancer with Wheatgrass. And the word cancer, of course, got our attention, and we stopped, and there were other people in front of his booth, and he was talking to all of us and regaling us with all the benefits, the health benefits of kombucha and wheatgrass powder. And all of a sudden, his eyes locked on mine. He looked directly at me. From my perception, it was as if everything else, there was sort of a whiteout all around me. And he said, if I had a serious health condition, I would get myself to the Optimum Health Institute. And so I think this was how spirit works, that spirit was talking to him to give that message to me. Mm. And I fortunately paid attention, and went home and I Googled the Institute and found out it's been here for 35 years. It has a good reputation. It's not inexpensive, but it's attainable, and you know, certainly your health is worth any price, especially in a situation like mine.
That's a lot less expensive than a spa, and that's probably because they feed us a lot less.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's a nonprofit.
Yes, and so we came, my husband came with me, and we both came together as guests for a week, and then I stayed on for an additional 2 weeks to complete the program. I decided then that I would take advantage of the opportunity that they offer for guests that have advanced health opportunities that need a longer time to heal. They have a missionary program where you volunteer about 18 hours a week and pay a nominal fee per month to stay here. And so I applied to be a missionary, and I was accepted. 7 weeks after I was on the program, eating this wonderful raw food, drinking wheatgrass, learning how to pray, how to meditate, how to ask others to pray, learning about acceptance, really re-examining my life and reframing the position I was in. They ask you to call it a health opportunity here, not a health condition or a disease, because in many ways it can't be an opportunity. So at any rate, after 7 weeks, I had my first diagnostic test. It was an X-ray. The largest of the two tumors was gone, and the second largest of the two tumors was a third of its original size. So that was highly encouraging and very motivating. This can be a difficult diet to be on for a long period of time, but that was extremely motivating. So I had
considering my alternative, especially, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So I had my next X-ray. After being on the program for 19 weeks, I have an X-ray every 3 months. And at 19 weeks, there was, I believe the radiology report lingo said, the previously noted tumors are no longer identifiable and the rest of the chest is unremarkable, which is radiology speak for it's just gone.
Wow. And your doctor said what to you at that time, Peg?
Well, that was a fascinating thing. I tell people that the second most fascinating thing in the meeting with Dr. Benign was that he said it's gone. But the first most fascinating and amazing thing is that he's looking at these three X-rays side by side, X-ray number one from May, where he told me I had 9 to 18 months to live and there was no hope. X-ray number two, where the first tumor was gone and the second was a third of its size. X-ray number three, 19 weeks after I started the program, no tumors. And he said, I don't know what you're doing, but keep it up.
And what else did he say? That was it?
That was it. That was it. So,
I don't know what's harder to believe, the miraculous recovery or his lack of curiosity. Astonishing.
Yeah, one would think that just sort of a modicum of intellectual curiosity would prompt you to ask more questions, but he didn't.
Is that his ego overtaking his curiosity, I guess? I don't know how else to explain it.
I don't know. It's hard for me to, the compassionate part of me says maybe it would be torturous for him to know because he can't really prescribe anything than the big three, the radiation, chemotherapy, drug, surgery, you know. The cynical part of me thinks, you know, he doesn't want to know because it might be undermine all the, you know, all of his education and his values and the entire medical industry, perhaps.
Well, still, it would seem that it would be the ethical thing to do would be to at least ask you. He could decide what to do with it.
Well, one would think.
One would think. But back to you. Where did you go from there?
Well, I was elated. I decided to continue on here as a missionary until the end of this month because I want to really lock in these gains. I want to really solidify this. And I'm sort of anxious and also a little nervous and excited to be taking this program back to my real life in February. I know what these benefits are. I'm firmly committed to adopting this lifestyle for the rest of my life. Hippocrates said a couple thousand years ago, if you have a chronic medical condition, it never really goes away. You always have to be vigilant. And so I've accepted the fact that you know, some major part of what I've been doing is going to have to be integrated into my life in the future. And I know you're interested in the environmental impact, and I don't know if you know this little factoid or not, but I learned recently that a completely vegetarian diet requires about 300 gallons a day versus 4,000 gallons a day for a meat-eating diet. Did you know that?
Yes, I have a similar figure. I'm trying to get it on my little iPhone here for a second.
Just,
but that's, yeah, I have how much water it takes for a vegan diet.
How much water it takes for a vegan diet versus, and so anyone who, you know, regardless of your health opportunity, if you're interested in protecting our environment and, you know, having a sustainable lifestyle, veganism or vegetarianism is really something to strongly consider.
Absolutely. And my daughter has gone vegetarian. She's 16. She goes to a camp every summer in Maine, and it happens to be a Jewish camp, so they keep kosher. We don't, but that means they don't eat meat, so at the camp. So she came back and said, you know, I realized I could live without meat, and because I need to learn about how to, you know, prepare food for her that is going to provide all the nutrients she needs, I've been thinking I should go in that direction, and I should anyway because I miss, you know, Queen of Green, and it's my last eco sin. Well, that and shopping. I still like shopping. Is, you know, I don't eat a lot of meat. We don't eat a lot of meat, but we do eat some. And after living on juice and salad and feeling great, I think I can easily give up meat and maybe a lot more. Here it is. 1 pound of meat equals 2,463 gallons of water.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. It is, and I don't think most, it says clean your conscience, go vegan. I don't think people are starting to realize it, but that just shows you the power of one right there just with your diet. And even if people are not, you know, ready to give up meat or fish or chicken, at least the red meat, you know, if you can be a meat reducer, as I've heard it called, and just, you know, go to once a week if you eat two or three times a week. I can't imagine anyone eating five or six times a week of meat, but just if you start cutting back, you'll save money, you'll save CO2 emissions, and you'll probably save some time to live. Probably cut some illnesses off the list too, because there are all kinds of illnesses associated with the red meat, all-American diet that we're just learning about.
Mm-hmm.
So how difficult do you think it will be to take this back home? How much of the, I mean, I would imagine in your situation, like if I don't incorporate it, I'll gain weight back, and who knows, I don't know that I'm healthy or will be in the near future. I hope so. But it must be even more obviously crucial when you are dealing with a health opportunity such as yours. How do you know how much is okay to continue and how much you can kind of fudge it a bit? You're a pioneer, so it may be that no one has been able to do this in front of you and tell you.
Well, I've thought a lot about that. And as you mentioned, having a serious health opportunity is very, you're highly motivated to do all the right things because literally your life is on the line. That's what's at stake. I have not been eating any fruit. Lots of people are surprised when they hear that. Fruit converts to sugar, and as we talked about before, sugar converts to cancer or is a feeder or promoter of cancer. And so I worry sometimes because we also know that fruit has a lot of antioxidant benefits. And so I thought about very gradually, one at a time, introducing some low glycemic fruits into my diet and just seeing if there are any changes. And because I have these x-rays available to me every 3 months, which are pretty low dose radiation, mm-hmm. I should be able to tell fairly quickly if anything negative is happening as a result of that.
And do you plan to be an ambassador, not officially, but unofficially, for this place that has not only changed your life, but perhaps saved your life?
I think it has. I think I have an obligation to pay it forward. I have adopted a new personal mission. It's on the back of my business card, and it's heal, share, and inspire. And I'm not quite sure how that will play out in my future life, but I have quite a story to tell.
You do.
I want to share it, and I hope that I can inspire other people.
I hope so too, and I'm going to be your new best friend and encourage you to write that book and stay on you till you do, because this is information that is, I mean, inspiring, yes, but life-saving, that is news that must be shared, absolutely. And I know some ways to do that, so I'd love to help you in that next chapter of your life if I can be of any assistance. And there's There's lots of people out there who would, I'm sure, feel the same way. So you have another week here. You are going through the first week's classes. I was kind of curious about that. Are you just getting a kind of a update before you go?
Yeah, I'm just doing a refresher of all the three. I'll actually be here three more weeks, two more after this one. And so I'm just a student this week. I've slipped into the role of student with all the first weekers, and I'm repeating all the classes and refreshing all the unbelievable amount of content. When you go through these courses, I tell people it's almost like a mini master, getting a mini master's degree in nutrition. And yesterday we had 6 hours of instruction on elimination.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, most medical doctors probably don't have 6 hours of instruction in their coursework on the process of elimination.
And my friend who I'm here with is going through pre-nursing programs, and she said, if any of my teachers were that dynamic, I would love, you know, pre-nursing school so much more than I do. She said she learned some things. I learned more than I ever remember from biology and chemistry.
Yeah.
And you think a class on elimination, it's not what you think. It's much more in-depth, and there's more to eliminating than just what goes into the toilet. And it's quite an education.
Yeah, so I feel that, you know, the content was so dense and so rich the first time around that by repeating these classes, I'm really getting a more a deeper and richer understanding of all these concepts that are so important.
And not surprisingly, this is, of course, a holistic approach. So it's not just, you know, the physical, but it is the mental, the emotional, the spiritual. And, of course, they're all connected. And that's pretty obvious to most of our listeners, I'm sure, but that is emphasized in kind of a deeper way here, I think. And you get that full, you know, realm of curriculum.
And I've really benefited, especially from the courses that we've had on meditation. I've had some interesting experiences with meditation. I would describe myself as an amateur meditator. I hadn't done any meditation before I got here, and I had one session in the summer before I knew that the tumors were gone, when it was as if someone turned a little ear, put an earbud in my ear, like an iPod earbud, and a little voice came into my head and said, I call this the Hey You Missy monologue. A little voice said, Hey You Missy, just because you have stage 4 cancer, that doesn't mean it has to be all about you. Too much I, me, me, me. You need to get out there and chit and chat with people and share your story and walk the healing path with other people, and that's how you're going to continue healing. Your case has been escalated and it's being dealt with, and you don't have to worry about that anymore. So too much I, drop the I.
I love it.
So my name for 50 years had been spelled P-E-G-I. I was Peggy. And a couple days after this Hey You Missy speech that came through meditation, I looked at my name tag and I thought, drop the I. I wonder if I could literally do that.
And you had a name that you could and not really think who you are.
I had a name that I could, so I did that. So, and that was a very liberating, you know, that sort of meditation where a little voice, wherever that voice is coming from, tells you you're liberated. You can be liberated from fear. And if you accept that, that was powerful. I think that was a real turning point in my healing.
I love it. And it's a new you, Peg. And I also noticed that you were Peggy Harvey Sweeney. So you could let go of some of those E's. You know, there is some laughter here, and that is part of the morning exercise routine where we lay on our backs and hold our bellies and just laugh. And even if you don't feel like laughing, which for some reason I didn't this morning, feeling kind of weak, I think, from the juice fest, hearing others around you laugh, and even if you just start laughing a little, you find yourself laughing more and more and more. And it's like they say, you know, if you're in a lousy mood, just smile, and the physical process of smiling will make you feel better. Try it. It actually works. So then try laughing, and it puts you in a better mood. So just some, you know, simple, quick tips we can leave our listeners with if they can't make it down to the Optimum Health Institute in San Diego. Don't forget to laugh. And part of the exercise routine is we all walk like pigeons around the room and make pigeon sounds, and then we walk like ducks and make duck sounds. And one of the exercises is, you know, bend over and swing your arms back and forth, and they play elephant, you know, sounds. It really is kind of, and then it's another one, we crawl on the ground and we're babies, and then we go back to our cribs. It's good to be childlike and silly as part of the healing process, isn't it?
You know, another thing your listeners might want to check out is there are laughter yoga clubs and meetup groups all over the world. This is a phenomenon that started in India about, I'm going to say, 15 years ago. And the laughter has proven to be extremely beneficial as a healing modality. And so no matter where you are, if you're near any sort of medium-sized city even, you should be able to Google and do a little search and find a laughter yoga club.
And, you know, speaking of laughter, before we close, I have to share, I tend to wear a lot of green, you know, loving everything green. And so I had my green clothes on, and I was doing my, what they call implant here. That's putting some wheatgrass juice where we can't talk about here. And so laying on the bathroom floor with my green top on and my wheatgrass and the tube and all that stuff, you can imagine. And first time, you know, it's a mess. It spills all over. So my saying is, have a great green day, you know, my message. And when I, you know, see people, so I said, well, I looked around the room. It was green all over the place on the towels. Someone here from the Institute, I shouldn't say that, but I said, well, I'm having a green day anyway, a very green day. And it turned out great because I feel terrific. So we have to laugh no matter what we do, because life with all its sadness and challenges can be absurd and more important, inspirational, magical, miraculous, and you are a walking example of that. And I am so pleased to have met you, Peg, early on in my stay here, because it just made me that much more committed to the process, and so glad that you were able to make time in your schedule to be with us on the Green Front and share your story with our listeners.
My pleasure, and as I said before, it's my mission to inspire and to share and to educate, and so I hope I've done some of that.
You're a fabulous missionary. Go forth and spread the word loudly and widely. And thanks for being with us again, Peg Harvey-Sweeney. If you missed part of her story, you'll want to check it out. You can listen to the archive on the Progressive Radio Network. Probably by tomorrow it'll be up. If not, then on my website, which is thegreenfront.com. Hope you enjoyed our show about recovery, healing, and miracles. I'm Betsy Rosenberg. I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I have bringing it to you, this surprising place that I've stumbled upon. I just thought it was too good to keep to myself. So I hope that you can maybe check it out, spread the word, and in the meantime, have a great green week. I'll see you next time on the Green Front.